Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Perpetual Notion Machine. I'm Dr. Mayra Oyola.
And I'm Dr. Angel Adames Corraliza. We're both professors of atmospheric and oceanic sciences here in Madison, Wisconsin. And honestly, as part of the job, we are also experts in the art of struggling and finding balance in our lives.
Yes, between teaching and research, and in our case, we're training for a marathon. We had our peak week training during the first week of class. Who does that? I'm actually trying to learn how to fly too. So we stay pretty busy. But if you didn't know, professors often work more than we should.
Yeah. We don't even want to talk about the amount of hours that we work. It's way too many.
But so we know one thing or another about stress.
So that's why today we're going to be talking about what do we do to keep ourselves afloat? What are things that we do to keep well-being? These are, you know, definitely challenging times for a lot of people, and a lot of the people that listen are working professionals and people that might be interesting in just what to do, you know, to just kind of like find something that kind of keeps you going in your job or in other aspects of your life. So like we always have done for the last couple of shows, this first half of the show is going to be in English, and then we're going to switch to Spanish after this short musical break. So if you prefer to listen to us in Espanol, just wait for like 15 minutes or so and we'll start talking in Espanol.
In Espanol, yes. So as you mentioned, this is a hard time of the year, just a lot of stuff happening around us. If you are either a parent or someone associated with the university, you'll know that right now this is the crazy part of the semester. Parents are getting used to taking their kids back to school and also going back to their jobs. And likewise, again, as I mentioned, if you are associated with the university, you're probably starting and students are getting homework, and we professors are bombarding you with a lot of homework right now. So that can lead to a lot of burnout, stress, and a lack of sleep, like I am right now. We can talk about that too. But there are things that we can do to stabilize and to have fun. And Angel, I think let's use this opportunity to bring something that you actually reminded me of a couple of months ago, as a matter of fact, about identity.
Yeah, so I was reading this book. It was this book. I don't remember the name of the book right now, but it was this book. It was mostly focused on sports, but it had like a couple of like insights from people that study psychology, especially psychology. And it was tailored to people that were elite athletes. But I think that what they brought actually, I think, applies to anybody, really. And so they were talking about what they have found with respect to the overall like mental health stability of people. And so they did a survey and they examined people and they interviewed people. And the conclusion that they came was that the people who overall experienced the highest amount of well-being and had the most stable, they had the most amount of emotional stability were the people that had more than one identity. So what do we mean by identity? So we all have, you know, we have jobs, we have careers, we have things going on, we have family. We're talking about how you see yourself in terms of goals, things that you want to do. For example, like we'll use ourselves as examples. And Mayra, you can add your examples. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, right now, you know, I went through some really difficult times a couple of years ago. Things were not doing good. And so I started doing some changes in my life. And one of the things that actually brought me a lot of well-being was actually starting to run marathons. And I think slowly running marathons has become part of my identity, in the sense that now I am looking for races to sign up. I'm always training for something. I'm always looking forward to something to do when it comes to running and racing. And it's in the same way that I am always looking forward to do something in my career. So when something falters in one of the two avenues, I still have something else to look forward to and work on. So that's the fortitude that they were talking about for the people that were found to be most stable.
Yeah, and I actually can vouch that when someone around you develops these identities, they may also be a good influence to the people around you. So I've been a runner for years, but I stopped running a while ago. I also was going through a lot of stuff a few months ago, and Angel kind of inspired me to start running again. And that has been incredible. It has been very humbling, very, very beautiful path to go back into marathon running. And I'm going to do my first marathon in 7 years next month. But I agree with that. There are several parts of my identity that are extremely important to me, and that they fulfill me in ways that kind of supplement and support the other areas. For me, another area is aviation. So I'm learning how to fly. I mentioned that at the beginning. And I know for a fact, I can vouch for this, that when I am flying, I forget about everything. It's about the controls, the instructions that my CFI is telling me, and whatever I need to do at the moment. So I forget about work. I forget about daily issues. Again, I become one with the machine, one with my little Cessna.
Yeah, and for me, when I started running again, I think it really started off because of my partner's oldest sister. She invited me to run this half marathon, and it was back in the Pacific Northwest, and I ran it, and at one point in the race, like, I just woke up. I don't know if that's the right word, and I just, like, looked around, and it was like, wow, it's beautiful today. What a beautiful day, you know? And it was like, you know, trees were green, the sky, well, it wasn't blue, it was actually a little cloudy, but there were, like, breaks, and the sun was kind of creeping through, and you could see a little bit of sunlight creeping in, and you know, it was like one of those moments where, like, I acknowledge that we live in a magnificent planet. It's a beautiful planet. And, you know, a lot of the things that happen internally in my life, all these problems, all these things that happen in human society, they don't stop that from being a fact, right? That doesn't stop that the planet from being beautiful. And it became a habit for me to just go out and have that moment of appreciation. So, like, part of me going out for runs has become like this therapy where, like, I have this moment of appreciation for everything that there is out there beyond the life that I live in. And it's become a routine, right? And it's almost become, that's been the part that I've enjoyed of going running more so than the racing. I like racing, right? I like having goals. I like seeing that I improve. But seeing the appreciation and that therapy has been really been an important thing for me maintaining well-being.
Yeah, that's true. And I can relate to that experience as well. But of course, not everyone has to go outside and run. Not everybody likes running. So there are other things that you can do. Maybe walking, maybe having mindful meditation. For me, that actually is also important. I try to meditate every morning. And taking breaks throughout the day, whenever we don't always have the time to go for a 7-8 miler, right?
Yeah. Cooking, baking, you know, yes. What is the word? I'm like, coser,
sewing. Yeah. Yeah. And I can say one thing too. Like, I used to hate cooking, Like, now, I don't know if it is that I'm getting older. I find it extremely relaxing to the point that I'm baking, I'm cooking, I'm planning my meals, and super engaged with it. So yes, I think everyone can find that activity that brings them true joy and true passion outside of the daily grind, right? Yeah. Taking the kids to school or, working 60, 70 hours a day, a week. Again, we shouldn't talk about hours, but, just to mention it.
My partner got me, an ice cream machine for my birthday, and it's like, it's too fun. It's too fun because you just, like, I didn't know how easy it is to make ice cream. You just, like, get cream and milk and, like, different ingredients and just throw them into the ice cream machine. And it's fun, but also it's, like, a very soothing activity. And it's not, like, an exercise, but it is something that we really enjoy.
Yeah. You still have to invite me for ice cream.
I do. We haven't invited you. But in my defense, like, I want to make sure that we make one that actually is up to standard.
Before you have guests. I get it. I do the same with my cakes when I bake.
Yeah.
Well, there are other things that we could do. And of course, we're not experts on mental health and or stress, but we're basically discussing what works for us, what we've seen that works for the students that work with us, our other colleagues that work with us. And I want to briefly talk about a little bit about digital detox. Because we live in a world in which we're constantly hooked up to our phones, our computers, and a lot of electronic devices. So do you have, I think you do, and I know you do, do you have any advice as to how do you control the amount of information and amount of time that you spend connected to these devices?
Oh, just put your phone away. Like literally, you know, it's funny because like that was like a funny thing that I like, I have ADHD and sometimes I just forget my phone and leave it. And, you know, like it's just lost for like an entire day. But it's like sometimes like that's like a good thing, right? Like, because I actually like focus on doing other tasks and getting things done. But honestly, like, you know, even when I haven't forgotten my phone, I've really limited my social media exposure. Like, I don't really do it as much as I used to. And I actually noticed that I feel a lot better. And I just have like a dedicated social media time during the day. And then the rest of the time I try to like not be in it.
And that's something I'm working on too, because I'm pretty active on social media. But one of the things that I do that work for me is to get this cold turkey removal periods where I just basically deactivate the account for a while and have a few days to clear my mind and focus on other things, and also creating space and connection with my friends, with my family, even though they're far away, having the time to talk to them, to connect.
Yeah. And in-person connections here in Madison have really, you know, like I think in the last, like we've been talking a lot more than we, because we both are really busy. So even though Mayor and I have, we have known each other for a long time, we kind of sometimes get on our own rhythm, but I think we have now been more actively dedicating time to like actually spending time with each other. And I think that's been good. We've met other friends. It's been really nice. And I honestly feel a lot happier that I know that I actually have friends now. And it sounds funny, but like, yeah, you know, like, oh, I actually have friends. That's so nice.
Yes.
Another thing that I've done, and this was partly is something that came out of COVID, and it's super cliche, and it doesn't work for everybody, but it does work to do on occasion. And that is to have gratitude journals, or like have gratitudes with other people. So like, you know, like asking you, like, what are you thankful for today or something? Because sometimes you will like, you know, just be grateful for like good things that happen. But sometimes find gratitude in like small things, you know, like I'm glad that like I have running water. You know, I'm glad that like the heater works, you know, and stuff like that, that we take for granted. And sometimes that does make you feel good.
Yes, absolutely. I would say one for me that I still need to learn, it's to say no, especially in our case that we have so many commitments. And of course, we're committed and we want to work with everyone and help everyone. But sometimes we just don't have the capacity. And it's such a powerful statement just to say those two letters, no, in a nice way. You can always say it in a nice way, but it's a way to self-protect and show self-love.
Yeah, and I think that that's pretty much the best way to like end this first half of the show.
In say no.
Say no, right? And say yes to yourself.
Yes.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man, still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone, all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and biting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance. Yeah.
knows no wine. He's haunted by something he cannot define. Bowel-shaking earthquakes of doubt and remorse assail him, impale him with monster truck force. In his mind, he's still driving, still making the grade. She's hoping in time that her memories will fade, 'cause he's racing and pacing.